the air for this Wednesday, October 28th, 2020. 21 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears along with Glenn Coble for the next 2 hours. Don't forget, here on WWGH Radio, we've got a Progressive Life with Glenn Coble today from 12:10 to 1 p.m. Dr. Ron Feynman is the guest. Coming up 4:10 today, we've got Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman. I believe he's got 5 big giveaways today on the trivia show. And this past Sunday's Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon coming up today, 6:10 to 7 p.m. Now, I do want to read these two announcements we have. The Richland Road Church of Christ, 535 Richland Road, is having their food bank and clothing giveaway this Saturday, Halloween, at 9 a.m., and they'll have lots of turkey breasts to give away. Halloween, that's all you have to remember, 9 a.m., Richland Road, Church of Christ, 535 Richland Road, this Saturday morning. Also, for all you people who love, did my mic go out there?
Mine did.
I think you're on. Here we go. Are you on? Am I on?
I don't know. Am
Let's
I
see
on?
What's going on here. I think I'm on now. Okay, we've also got the Deadwoods coming up. Yeah, a little staticky there for some reason. Okay, there we go. The Deadwoods is coming up this Friday and Saturday, October 30th and 31st over in Caledonia, 3550 Lyons Road in Caledonia. Admission is $12, 8 to 11 p.m., and you can search this on Facebook, The Deadwoods, over in, you know, not far to go if you want to do something on the night before Halloween or Halloween. So there you go, The Deadwoods over in California.
Is that a musical group, The Deadwoods?
I'm guessing not.
Okay.
But we'll go with it either way.
Okay.
So here we are, Glenn.
Yeah.
6 days. Well, a lot of stuff coming up here because we've got Halloween on Saturday.
Yeah.
The Halloween of COVID, which will be interesting. Sunday, we've got the time change. We fall back an hour. Mm-hmm. Monday is the 100th anniversary of President Harding being elected President of the United States. And then Tuesday's the election. We've got a big... four big days coming up.
Is anybody doing anything about Harding's centennial, or other than we are? But
No. And our announcement will come quick. We're lining up the guests. We're going to have a big day Monday because of that. We've got Monday morning show will revolve around Harding, and I've got some good guests for that. And then we're going to do a special Monday night, but I'll give you the time on this before the weekend. But I have an interview with Craig Shermer that I taped in Cleveland, who is the foremost Florence Harding impersonator, and he's been doing it for 45 years, and I'm telling you, it was an experience.
How do you make money being the Florence Harding impersonator?
Well, he does other first ladies.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, but he's been on national television. He was on The Daily Show with that.
He's, I saw you and the picture of him, and he's outstandingly ugly.
No, let me say this. Well, Florence was no looker herself.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this, because the two people, I had two crew members with me in the room, so I'm going to ask you what I asked them, and I thought their answer was interesting. If you did not know what he was, would you think that was a man or a woman?
I would have thought it was a woman.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Picture, yeah.
That's what everybody said.
An ugly woman, but a woman.
But a woman.
He looks like an older woman.
He looks like your grandmother.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Or great-grandmother.
I mean, and it's weird because I never saw Craig, because the get-up he has to get in is what he came in. So, and the people there at the Rock and Roll Hall of thought it, you know, was a woman. They didn't know what it was, you know?
I looked at your Facebook, and you really looked like you had a great time there.
Oh, we had a tremendous time.
Yeah.
I had never been to the Rock and Roll.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh.
And we went to do the interview, but obviously while you're there, why not tour the thing?
Sure.
And I was so impressed. So, and this has been an interesting year for me. People talk about 2020 being awful. Well, in 2020, I visited the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It hasn't been that bad a year for me.
Well, you know, the one thing that bothered me, and it's been a long time, I went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I'd guess 20 years ago, maybe? Long time ago. But the thing that bothered me about it, and I understand after talking with people who have been there since, it's still quite similar. There were a lot of clothes and guitars and pictures, but nothing that you could... some museums have... things where you can go and be part of it. All you can do at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is have pictures of yourself standing in front of the guitar or something.
Well, they did it's interesting. They do have virtual things, but because of COVID, they were shut down.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. And they do have the... We didn't do it, but they do have the place where you can go up and see the history, which is like a five-minute video or something.
Yeah.
That's open.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I didn't do that. It's very similar to the Country Music Hall of Fame, to be honest.
Yeah, I would imagine, yeah.
It's very similar. People like the clothes, and to be honest with you, I was impressed. You know, when you see Michael Jackson's glove, when you see that kind of, I don't know what, that jacket he wore that's so famous, where mm-hmm. it's like a...
shimmery thing.
Yeah. When you see that, when you see Elvis Presley's suit, Chuck Berry's guitar, I mean, to me, these are kind of interesting things.
Yeah, icons.
Yeah. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello. Please don't hang up.
Oh, good.
Geez, it's one of our Amazon listing. That's please, what that always is.
Please don't hang up. Click.
Yeah. Well, it's always telemarketers and surveyors this time of year with the election coming up. No, but what I am B.B. King's jacket, and I am not a blues person at all. I don't own a B.B. King song. I couldn't tell you one, to be honest. But he was such a fixture for so long, and he wore those unique jackets. To see his jacket, you know, it's very interesting.
Yeah, that sort of thing doesn't inspire me in any... I don't get the connection, but like... if you go to the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago, you can go down in a coal mine. You can watch a train run around a giant track. That's the type of places I want to go. I'm not
I don't care about clothing either. I think though the reason clothing matters in music Hall of Fames and Hollywood Hall of Fames, if the person is dead. Okay, the person's not going to be there, so you're not going to get that.
But you do wonder if his DNA is still inside it.
It could be.
Yeah.
It could be. But really, so you're not going to get a performance from him.
Well, they do have some performances, if I recall correctly, but they're all taped.
Right. B.B. King is dead.
Yeah.
You're not going to get a performance. Yeah. Michael Jackson's dead. You're not Elvis, dead. Beatles, the group is majority dead now. You're not going to get a performance. But in music in Hollywood, there's a concerted effort. They have stage clothes.
Yeah.
They didn't come out in what they wore at home.
Yeah.
So that's why there's a twinge of interest in their clothes.
I understand that. Is Muddy Waters at all there?
No.
He's really not a rock and roller.
No. And there were some interesting ones. Like, it's a weird thing, and I don't know if this is just because there were no special clothes, but Fats Domino is on the wall, but there's no exhibit for him.
Well, he was a rock and roller.
Oh, he definitely is, but I don't know if he just didn't have any memorabilia or if he's got, he's dead now, but if he has his own museum somewhere, mm-hmm. a lot of people run into that now in their hometowns, people will have their own museums, so there's that. But it's a great trip.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. I was there with COSIDA, which is College Sports Information Directors of America, and one of our... members of COSIDA was a terrific rock and roll player, and he brought his band, so we got to actually listen to rock.
And here comes the break. We'll be back in 60 seconds with much more.
Scott, do you remember when Hillary Clinton came to Marion in 2016?
Yes, I do. I stood outside of the Harding Hotel in the rain waiting to get an interview that didn't happen.
You know why she chose the Harding Hotel to meet?
No, I don't.
Well, they used to have a hair salon in the lobby, and she could sure use it.
Here we go again. WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
G. GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
And we're back here on this Wednesday, 6 days before the election, 3 days before Halloween, 4 days before the time change. It's all coming up on us. but do stay tuned to this station, because we will have announcements as it's being put together for the celebration of President Harding's what do they call that? Centennial of his election?
Yeah.
Of his election on Monday. And, of course, we will have election coverage starting Tuesday at 7:10 p.m. The only reason we have not formally announced that, I know you know we're going to do it. It's the seventh year we've done it. And we're just deciding who's going to be stationed where at this point, and who's going to be in studio, because I know we have some special people coming in studio that night. But we'll have that by Friday, too, so you'll know that going into the week next week. But definitely election coverage will start Tuesday night at 7:10. And listen Tuesday morning, because the election morning show, we've got some great political minds. And we're going to try to balance it. I'm going to make sure 1 hour is a Trump person, and 1 hour is a Biden person. So Tuesday morning is going to be as balanced as you can get.
That's good. I like that. I like hearing that. Well, and we have my phone says we have 5 days till the voting day, but it's actually 5 days and several hours. And it also says we have 83 days to Inauguration Day, and we actually have only 315 days till the Popcorn Festival.
Well, I have two things to say about this election, and then really I have not much more to say at this particular point. What I want to say about the election is, last Thursday night, locally, we did our candidates' night, and again, I thank the Marion Star for running the story on Saturday. Great people, Ben and Andrew Carter. I thought every local candidate who was here on Thursday night handled everything with class and dignity. So, great. You know, people say, "Oh my gosh, you're doing a debate. Will that turn it?" No, it didn't.
It wasn't really a debate format.
It was with the clerks, because they were both here.
Yeah,
it did. But regardless, they all went very well, and I admire them for running, because it takes a lot to run. Now, that being said, so I get home later. Thursday night, which was the last presidential debate. And I'm going to say this. I watched it, and I said it this Friday morning, but it bears repeating, close to the election.
We'll decide that, whether it bears repeating.
It does bear repeating. If you like Trump, you still like Trump. If you like Biden, you still like Biden.
Yeah, it made no difference.
No, but they said things that, you know, you wouldn't say in normal conversation, but it was a debate. It was how a presidential debate should be. They did what they needed, and the moderator did a great job.
She was, Kristen Welker was phenomenal, just by handling it the right way. But I thought, kudos go to the president. I thought he did a remarkable job of restraining himself, especially after the first debate. Now, I disagreed with a lot of things he said, and I would question whether a lot of things he said were factual, but he was very, for the most part, he was very civil.
I thought they both were.
Yeah.
They both said things that obviously were there to get the dander of the other person up.
Yeah, of course.
But that's what a debate is.
Yeah.
It was very, and you know what, people will say, well, that's because they turned the mics off. No, I really think they both tried this time. They both tried.
I do too, and I think the only time they turned the mics off is at the very first question of each section. They turned it off for 2 minutes. After that, they were allowed to go back and forth, and they did go back and forth.
And I'll say this. I think you did learn things from that debate. You did learn where some people stand on certain issues.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. So I'm up Thursday night because I wanted to be able to talk about it Friday morning, but I didn't get to watch it live because I was still here when it came on. So I'm watching it till like 1 in the morning.
Oh, lovely.
And I remember sitting I remember I was watching it in bed, and I'm thinking, wow, this is like a debate.
Yeah.
This is very good.
Far better than the first one.
Oh, far.
Yeah.
Far better.
Yeah.
So, good for all of them.
Yep. Yeah.
It did what it needed to do.
I appreciated the civilness, if that's a word, of the debate. And Kristen Walker has been getting all sorts of accolades since then.
Well, even President Trump complimented her.
Yeah.
During the debate.
Yeah.
So I'm, hey. And Chris Wallace, you know, and here's, this is the media, and I love this. This is a good example of everything I've been saying. Chris Wallace, if you don't know, moderated the first debate and took a lot of heat for what happened.
Yeah.
So he's on the Fox News coverage when the last debate ends. And he says, I'm jealous of her because of how well she did.
Yeah.
Now, the next day in papers, you read Chris Wallace jealous of they made it out like he was just he said he was jealous.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't say
there was no animosity.
No, he was saying,
yeah,
I'm jealous of how she was able to handle that.
Having the cutoff switch helped her a lot, I think, because she could have cut either one of them off at any point.
I think they both also understood after the first one they made mistakes.
Yeah.
I think the president's mistake was talking a lot, and I think Biden's mistake was using horrible rhetoric. It wasn't racist. It wasn't "you clown." It wasn't "shut up." You know, it was civil.
Now, the thing that did you notice that she only had to hit the cough switch or the silent switch a couple of times, and it was right at the end of what I think the president was saying, and it didn't bother him. So that was good.
Yeah. And he complimented her.
Yeah.
So I. Kudos to them.
Yeah.
And go vote. And there you go. That's all I have to say on that particular.
Now, do you think they've been talking all weekend, the talking heads talked all weekend, how you had to get your vote in by mail. If you're going to mail it in, it had to be in yesterday. It had to be in the mail yesterday to guarantee it got in there, which irritates the heck out of me anyway that we've had this postmaster general who is dismantled the post office, but that's neither here nor there. The average mail is not getting out. It's taking 6 days, even if it's going from the same town to the same town.
You know, though, I will say this, that I just happened, it wasn't my vote, but I just happened to mail something on Sunday, which, you know, it wouldn't have gone out till Monday. And when you mail something now with the U.S. Postal Service, they give you an expected delivery date on your receipt. And clearly, see, here's what I don't understand. If you are mailing your vote in, you have to live in the city or county that you're mailing it in. So it's not like you're mailing it to California.
Yeah, it should only take a day.
Well, that's my when I mailed it Sunday, which would have gone out Monday. Now, this was going to Columbus, so it wasn't staying in Marion.
Well, and all of our mail goes down to Columbus and then comes back.
Right. So, but my expected delivery date was the 28th, which was today. So if it went out Monday, it would be there today. So I'm expecting that if you mail it out, it takes 3 days.
Yeah, I think they're basing that on the average of what it's taking nationally. And I'm not sure how they get that either. And it may just be scare tactics to get people to get out and vote.
I still don't understand why people think we won't know on election night, because everybody who early voted, which is a huge number, in person early voted, and plus all the ones that have come in by mail.
What is it, up to 70 million?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Some starting at midnight, some starting when the polls close, but all states will be able to count those on election night. And also, you are counting the in-person votes. So the only votes that cannot be counted on election night are the ones who are postmarked, absentee. Yeah. So that's not a huge portion.
Well, I think some of the huge cities that can't start counting until 7:30 or whatever.
Right, but here's...
They won't get it done by then.
Well, see, here's what I don't understand about that. Okay, in presidential years, the turnout's always like this. It always is.
Mm-hmm.
They still count them. So what's the difference? I would think this would be easier, because normally you have to wait for the precincts to deliver them. You don't. The early votes are there.
Yeah. Well, one of the problems, I think, is that people forget that every year it never is done at by midnight. There's always some lagging states. Now, there are times where it's obvious who's going to win because the electoral votes are already figured. But it's not unusual to have election results coming in at 1 or 2 o'clock at night.
No, the last presidential was 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
But I believe this presidential election will be called around 11. When the West Coast comes in, I believe this will be called. Because they're going
to
start...
We ought to have a bet on that. I think it'll be closer to...
You think it will be?
I think it'll be the next morning.
Well, which... Because it would indicate that a state where the poll closes at 7:30 Eastern time would be so close that it's going to take them a long time to count it. Last time the hang-up was Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania because they were so close.
But you're assuming that whoever loses won't contest it.
Oh, you're talking... Well, contesting and knowing are two different things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I
think you're going to know.
We can't possibly know for absolutely certain until it's already been certified, which is what the about 20 days later, I think.
Well, let me put it this way: the 2 years that Obama won, at 11 o'clock, it was done.
Yeah, yeah.
And I believe that will be the same this year.
Grant Park went crazy,
right? Well, because that's when California goes.
Mm-hmm.
And if Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Florida, and Ohio can be figured out in 3 hours, which they should be able to this year, I don't think they're going to be razor thin like they were in 2016. California will do it again.
Plus, and you're right, you already have about a third of the vote already counted.
That's what I say. So I think at 11 o'clock you're going to know. I don't think you're going to see speeches. I don't think you're going to see concessions. But I think you're going to know who's going to be the president on January 20th, 2021.
Well, you and I have a show the next morning, so we got to get to
this show
early. Yeah.
This show. But I think you'll know the local ones, too, because, again, local people can start counting at 7:30 here in Marion, and there will be a big turnout.
Yeah.
Which means that I don't think we're going to have any one-vote elections because it's not a city council thing.
That's pretty unusual, but that was kind of neat, the last election.
Well, and city council is different because not only do we have low voter turnout that year because it's not a Senate year, it's
right,
not a presidential
18.
Year,
yeah.
But it's a city council is just a ward. It's a part of the city.
Mm-hmm.
So you could...
And there are six, aren't there?
Right.
Thing.
You know, we're talking votes in the hundreds.
Yeah.
This year, I believe it was 16,000 voted in 16. So that's about what it'll be again, I think. I think we'll be between 14 and 18, depending.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting no matter what.
And we'll be here.
And we were talking off the air. You're concerned about violence.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because
I'm not terribly concerned about it.
I think, you know...
Just because you're carrying a gun doesn't mean you're going to use it.
Oh, I'm not talking about guns. I don't think it'll be guns.
Oh, okay.
No. I think protests have the tendency, as we saw this past summer, to turn riotous. I don't think protests start riotous. I think...
No, there are people that instill the riots that come in after the fact.
And I think the president in general, people don't just vote for him. People don't just like him. They're a fan of his.
Yeah.
And fan comes from the word fanatic.
Yeah.
And if this is like Ohio State, your football team losing, and you see what they do to the campus when it loses. And that's all I'm saying.
Kind of stupid.
But it's what happens.
Yeah.
So I think if the president should lose, I think it could. If Biden loses, I don't think they'll be.
No, I don't.
I don't think. But if the president does lose, these people who put the flags on their trucks and who have signs that say Trump BS and it doesn't say BS, no more BS, that's strong.
Yeah.
That's a strong thing.
I have a flag, a Biden flag out in my front yard. I take it down every night because I don't want somebody to set my house on fire. But
there you go. Here comes the break. Hey, Charlie. Did you know that Mayor Jack Kellogg has a great collection of political memorabilia?
Yes, I did know that. But do you know what his most prized political possession is?
No, Charlie. What is it?
Hillary Clinton's hairbrush. Never been used.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak or walk.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
And we're back here on the air on this Wednesday. Now, let's get away from politics for 1 second just to say this.
How about for a whole section?
That's what this is, this whole section. But I don't know. This might be political in a way, but not political in what we've been doing. Coming up when this show's off today at 12 noon.
I'm sorry. Dr. Feynman just got...
Oh, good. This is what I'm going to talk about.
He just got a chuckle of hearing me saying I take in my flag.
He's listening?
Yeah.
Okay, because this is about you, Dr. Feynman. Get ready, because this is what this section's all about.
I misspelled
about.
His name, by the way, and I'm very sorry.
Why do you put that picture up when you're advertising the show that looks like you're a longshoreman?
Well, I'm trying to change the picture every week so that it adds interest.
I mean, I like the picture of you with the mask on.
That picture won't come back up again.
No, I like the one with you with a mask on. I thought that was, you know,
okay.
Picture. But it looks like you're about ready to go out like the Johnson's fisherman.
I'm just trying to get attention, that's all.
That's what you got to do, promote a show.
Yeah.
Now, but here's what I'm talking about with Dr. Feynman. This is why I'm bringing this up.
All right, listen, Ron.
He's on today at 12:10 until 1 p.m. Now, I hate to go through this again, but we had a little mutiny here at the station.
And you better turn your radio off there.
Well, I can't lie, Glenn. There was a mutiny. Because here's what happened. As near as I can tell, and correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going somewhere with this, so...
Okay. I'll give you time.
I'm not just saying it to say it. But what happened was, Dr. Feynman first appeared on this station on my show as a guest, I believe, during the 2016 election. He's been on periodically over the years, but somehow he and Adam Lepp struck up, we'll call it a friendship.
Yep.
And he was appearing on Adam's show every week for like 2 years or something.
Adam dubbed him the presentologist of the radio station.
Right. He certainly did. So then 1 week, close to the election, like 2 months ago, Dr. Feynman disappears from Adam's show. Just mysteriously, he's gone, and then he, in the same week, drops in on your show, and now becomes a regular. And don't, listen, I would not bring this up, but you guys are having a Facebook fight, and I'm watching it every week, and I got to bring it up because this is the last show we'll do before the election. You guys, you, Ron, and Adam, is who I'm, you guys have your little... I don't know. What do you call it? You have your little beefs online.
I try not to get involved in any beefs, and I think everybody's been civil. Adam occasionally throws a barb in there. I occasionally try to throw a yucky in there. And Dr. Feynman has been totally civil the whole time, I thought.
But, I mean, you guys are, I mean, having... I don't know that I've seen you in an argument, but... Adam and here's the thing. Again, I would not, if they were having this in private, but when you have it on social media, we can all see it, you know, and
oh, I thought that was just between us.
Is that right? But no, Dr. Feynman and Adam are really, it's all about COVID. I mean, they're having a real...
Well, they have disagreements.
Loggerhead.
And they had disagreements on their show.
Correct. And Dr. Feynman, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't have a photographic memory, but I believe they had a conversation this past week that where Dr. Feynman on Facebook called Adam a disgrace. I mean, I believe...
I didn't see that.
If I'm wrong, tell me. But I believe it was Dr. Feynman had put a post up about COVID, and then Adam made a comment, and then they kind of went back and forth, and I believe he called him a disgrace or something like that. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but... What?
I really don't. You think there's hard feelings. I think you're just trying to drum it up for business. But I don't
why
see
does it
any
continue
hard
to
feelings?
Go on, I guess. I mean,
sorry?
That's if it why if there's no hard feelings, why does it continue on? I mean, this has been going on now for a month.
Well, that's kind of Adam's personality. He wants to beat the horse till it's absolutely not breathing anymore. And it's okay. Dr. Feynman gets along fine with it. I kind of ignore it at times, but...
But I don't care that they do it. I mean, I really...
No,
I,
you
fine.
Can't. It's no, on Facebook.
It's on, but, right, but I wouldn't care either way. I just find it a very interesting thing how this election has brought out very strong feelings.
And I think that's part of it. I think you hit it on the head. I think COVID is kind of making us all a little too edgy.
Right, and I'm not saying Adam's wrong, and I'm not saying Dr. Feynman's wrong, and I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying just saying the three of you have got into a little
lover's quarrel.
Is that what it is?
No.
I don't know. But it's interesting to watch. Because it's
excuse me.
And I love because Terry Tackett comes in every Sunday.
Yeah, he does. He throws his
and drops the barb. Who's got custody of Dr. Feynman this week?
And I think that's kind of funny. Maybe I hope that nobody takes offense. I got another answer.
Correct
here.
Me if I'm wrong.
and I hope, Dr. Feynman, you don't mind me. I'm getting your, I know you're listening because you say Adam's sense of humor is, I can't read this. I'm sorry, my phone is
always right,
but
can't
off.
Read.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, it went away. He basically was saying he had a funny sense of humor. That's it.
Funny as in ha ha, or funny as in weird.
I don't think it. I didn't establish that.
So I'm guessing that he did say he was a disgrace, or I think he would have corrected me.
Oh, yeah, he didn't say anything about the disgrace, and I don't know why my phone went away. It kept blinking. So,
but you know what? I don't care. I think that's freedom of speech. But it has now encompassed four people: you, Feynman, Adam, and Terry.
Okay.
But it's fun to watch.
Yeah, it's fun to be a part of. I think you'll notice that most of my responses are pretty non-committal.
But why do you think there is such... Okay, let's say there's no animosity. Let's say it's all in fun.
Yeah, I'd say it's 80% in fun.
Okay, why do you think it continues? Because, I mean,
like I said, Adam likes to get that horse dead.
Well, what do you think? Because I think it's about COVID. What do you think the real argument is there as you've watched it evolve?
I'm going to plead the fifth. I'm not pleading the fifth because that would imply I know the answer. I just don't know the answer. I'm just happy that I got Dr. Feynman on my show.
Well, I'm saying is I only bring it up because it's two shows on the station, and there really was no explanation ever given as to why Dr. Feynman was no longer on Adam's show. Yeah, I tried to ask Adam about it that one day, and it
he wouldn't respond. That day that we were
they were all here
together. No, he didn't respond to it, and probably... it was a good idea that he didn't respond. Obviously, something happened between the two of them that made it not workable to keep talking back and forth. And I understand that. There are certain people that if I had on as a regular guest, I know I wouldn't be able to continue to have
them
on.
Great thing is that Dr. Feynman bounced to your show, so it didn't impact him.
No, and he and I are a lot closer in our opinions.
And it did not hurt Adam's show because he went out and got Patrick Baroniak and started kind of doing a different type of show.
Yeah, and that's good.
It's
that's
not
good
so political.
For the station.
Sure. It didn't hurt anybody.
Yeah, it cuts out the boredom.
Right. Oh, I'm getting a message from Dr. Feynman now.
Dr. Feynman, if you're going to send us messages, please know that they'll probably get read on the air.
Well, that's right. Dr. Feynman, matter of fact, I'm not going to read your message on the air unless you say it's okay. So here's your chance. Say it's okay if you want us to... I think the first one's okay to read here. I won't read the second part unless you say it's okay, but here's the first one. It says, my objections are to Adam's lack of concern about COVID-19 and his support of caging children at the border. Totally unconscionable. Well, that doesn't sound like a ha-ha.
No, that wasn't a ha-ha. But, you know, you and
I... It is okay. Let me read the second part real quick, because it is okay. He just sent me the word. I cannot be on a show with someone who has no ethics, morals...
Oh, my,
on
Dr.
such
Feynman.
Issues. No, you tell me that's ha-ha, Glenn.
Well, I'm learning more.
That's not all that ha-ha to me.
Oh, me. Well, I was trying to be
You were wrong, Glenn. You were wrong.
Well, I can take being wrong. I've been wrong three or four times.
So now that we know the truth,
okay,
what do you make of that? I think that's interesting.
We
to talk
all
about.
Have different opinions, and that's fine. I mean, I think it's okay that they disagreed, and I think it's probably the smart choice to terminate the relationship, because all you're going to do is nothing worse than listening to a radio show with two people mad at each other arguing. I find it boring.
You know, it's interesting because recently. We had Judge Joe Brown on.
Yeah.
And during that interview, and I think you said this on the air that day, you had to turn him off.
Yeah, I did.
Because he was Trump supporter.
Yeah. Well, not because he was a Trump supporter, what he was saying.
Okay. And I'm trying to think of the other guest who I had on recently who veered more toward that side. You know, it's interesting. In an interview, nothing can offend me.
Okay.
But I also will never give my opinion in an interview.
I mentioned on Facebook today, I think, or yesterday, I was really lucky. I was brought up by a mother and a father. My dad was a minister, as everybody knows, I assume by now. My mother and my sister were absolute, I call them angels, but that's not right. They really believed that if you don't have something good to say about somebody, you should keep it to yourself. And I try to do that. I don't all the time, obviously, but I think that's made my life a lot easier because I don't have to get in petty fights with people. I can go along and you can say something that I think is absolutely asinine, and I usually get very quiet, as you know. I get very quiet when I disagree with you, but I don't say you're an idiot. Now, there have been times, the other day a gentleman walked right up to me without a mask on in a grocery store, and I turned around and I was about to say, you don't look as ignorant as that, but I really stopped myself at the last minute. My mom tapped me on the shoulder and said, don't say that.
Well, see, there is that tendency,
yeah.
I think, and like I was telling you.
Especially now.
Well, it's interesting. Like this morning when I was talking to Estelle Parsons, yeah. Academy Award winner.
Oh, was that a good interview?
I loved her, yeah. Love her, and I said to her, I said, basically, We had about a 5 minute stretch there on politics, mm-hmm. And
I love that she kind of played off of it. She got away from it.
She didn't want to say who she voted for.
Yeah,
which is fine.
That's good.
But you have to ask the question because that's interesting. Because she had just went on about being from a political family. Now, if she wasn't from a political family, I never would have asked that question. So that being said. But when I'm off the air, I don't want to talk about politics unless somebody brings it up.
Were you from a political family?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. So that's interesting because I think when you're in the media and a journalist and on a talk station, you're bound to do, especially around an election, you're bound to do a lot of political interviews, and you should know enough to be able to do them. But when I go home at night, when I'm around people, we aren't talking politics.
Yeah, no. It's boring.
It's
yeah.
not my life.
Yeah, yeah. Now, my family, my grandfather and grandmother and my mother and father were all Republicans. And my grandfather absolutely hated FDR, which I didn't think there were people that really did. But he thought it was, you know, he would have called him a socialist. And so I've kind of been on both sides of the coin.
My parents, honestly, I don't ever remember them talking politics.
No.
Ever.
Well, my parents didn't talk politics. Dad being a minister, that did not get, not only did it come up in the pulpit, it did not, but it didn't get talked about at all.
I couldn't tell you who they voted for.
I pretty much knew that my parents always voted.
See, now I could tell you now because they, you know, mm-hmm. It's a little discussion.
Well, and you're older, you probably talked.
Right. Yeah. But in those days, they didn't talk to each other about it. Maybe they did on the way to the polls, but they didn't talk about it. It wasn't a conversation.
Well, back in when I was your age, it was absolutely a sin to ask somebody how they voted. You just did not do it.
Well, and my grandparents, you know, now they paid more attention to it. But to be honest with you, I the first election I remember with my grandparents really talking about it, and I, that long before it, they were voting people. I know this, but was the 92, the Bush, Clinton, Ross Perot. That brought out very strong feelings in them, and I did know which way both of them were voting in that particular election. But my parents, no.
That was the only fight, political fight, that my wife and I have had, because I voted for Ross Perot.
You know, it's, I'll tell you, it's interesting. I because you know, I don't want to say what they did. I don't want to speak for anybody else. But one of them voted for Ross Perot, which he had a very unique appeal to people.
Yeah, his appeal was that he broke it financially down so that you could sort of understand why his ideas might be good. Now, looking back at it, it was stupid that I did that because, you know, it took a vote away from who I really would support. That's one of the things I'm concerned about, people voting for third party as a an anger vote. You know, I don't like either one of them. Well, most of the time, people that say I don't like either one of them don't know anything about either one of them.
And on that particular note, we've got a whole nother hour coming up. We're going to take a break. Be back in 15 minutes. Stay tuned.
I'm sorry, at an office. I really, now he's got a lot of money.
The money
can put behind him. But how many people would vote for him? I don't think very many.
WWGH Radio LP Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM. Streaming at www.wwgh1071.com. The Talking, find us on Facebook by WWGH